Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Thank you. That caught me off guard, and that's hard to do. So thank you, guys. Wow. Thank you. That really caught me off guard. Thank you. Would you stand to your feet today? You did. I was going to take your Bible. And let's lift our hands towards heaven. We've got a lot to be thankful for today. And I see new members of the church in here today. We got our two beautiful, healthy, beautiful babies that God blessed us with. And my goodness, we've got a lot to be thankful for. So let's just take a minute and just thank God. Lord, we praise you today. You're so good to us. God, we honor you. We honor your word. We honor your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you've placed each and every single one of us into this room, and even those watching online, you have placed us here for such a time as this, and we thank you, God. We don't take it lightly. We don't take you lightly, God. We honor you. We put you first place. God, we honor your character, your word. We honor, God, you as our Father, as our Lord, as our Savior, as our provider, as our healer, as our best friend. God, we thank you for your word today that you're going to bring forth. And as it goes, it will plant seeds that will produce good fruit and a lot of harvest in our lives. We worship you for what you're going to do for the healings that are taking place. That this is a house that when people come, when people tune in, they get healed. That this is a house that when people come here, when they tune in, God, that they meet you, Lord, that they come and they know who you are and they're never the same, that they are transformed. God, we ask that in these last days that this church gets to be a part of all those miracles, signs, and wonders, Lord. We want it all. We thank you, Father, that we get to do things even greater than you said in your word that you did. Oh God, how humbling, but we accept it. We honor you for it, Father, and we expect it, Lord. We don't talk about stories that have been or were. We talk about ones that are happening now, today. And we thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do in this place, in the hearts of all these wonderful, beautiful people, God. We invite your Holy Spirit into this room. We invite your Holy Spirit into our kids' ministry. We invite your Holy Spirit into those that are watching in online, God, if they're in their car, in their house, if they're in their workplace having lunch, maybe they're listening to this tomorrow. And I thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit just enters wherever they are. God, for you are the answer. And everything that we could ever need is already in the room. And we worship you for it, Father, and we honor you today. Amen. Would you be seated and look at somebody and smile? If there's a baby near you, you've got a lot of reasons to smile. So happy to have Alexandria, Corey, and Lucas and Cassandra in the room. Wow. You're beautiful, beautiful, beautiful babies. My goodness. If you have your Bible, which I hope you do, go with me to Psalms 20. I love Psalms because oftentimes they have a way of saying how you feel and being honest with God and God being honest back. And they're filled with just such wisdom. Proverbs, amazing, but Psalms, my goodness, has some scriptures that I'll stand on my whole life. And we're going to go to Psalms 20 today. And I'm not going to get through this whole word today. I'll get through, we'll do part two next week and I'll close it up. But we'll get as far as we can today. All right? Psalms 20, are you there? Okay, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all of your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. So there's some good news in here today, actually quite a bit, that we could stop on just this today. I mean, God is so good. But I want you to go to verse 3, and we have some good news. All throughout this whole thing, we learned what? That God, we can expect him to answer us, that we can expect him to defend us, to send help, to strengthen. It says that he remembers us, it says he remembers our seeds, and he grants our heart's desires, and he fulfills our purpose. You know, I think a lot of times we think we fulfill our purpose, but it's God who fulfills our purpose in us, through us. Without God, you can't fulfill your purpose. So that's why do you see all these people that you think have everything that you could ever want? They have all the money, all of the whatever, and they're unhappy. Why? Because they're not fulfilling God's purpose in them, which is something you were made for. It is like you were made to make cookies, and somebody put you in a fish shop. And you're like, I don't belong here. This does not equate, especially me. Don't put me anywhere near in a fish shop. I can't stand the smell. My grandpa would go in and just, ugh, hated it. But we fulfill purpose that God has given to us. And he fulfills that purpose through us as we allow him. But I want you to go to verse 3. This is where we're going to stick today. It says, may he remember all of your offerings and accept your burnt offerings, Selah. God never forgets a seed that's sown. And that's wonderful news, because there are a lot of seeds we've sown. And honestly, I couldn't remember every single one that I've sown. But God does. He doesn't forget a one of them. Not a one. It says that he also knows every tear you've cried. It says he holds them in a bottle, and he knows why you cried them. How many you cried. And he considers those to be seeds as well. Did you know that? That your tears, although sometimes, you know, I don't like to cry. I mean, I'll almost do everything I can not to. And that's when it's like, well, thanks. I can't stop now. And I feel like the older I get, the easier I cry, which is just, that's just wrong, okay? It's very humbling. I cry easily now, and I never used to. Unless I thought Dad was yelling at me or something, and then I would cry. When I was a kid, and he's like, this is my voice. I'm like, you're yelling at me. He's like, you know, so sensitive little kid. But needless to say, there's seeds that you plant in when you give tithes and offerings. That's a form of sowing. There are seeds you plant in helping the body of Christ, like Galatians would say, which is you're helping other believers, or you're meeting a need of somebody that you come in contact with. There's seeds you sow through Love Omaha, through outreach. There's seeds you sow in your family, you know, that you put in to your children day in and day out that no one else sees. You moms, dads, that you're like, it's me and my kid in a room, and I'm sowing seeds of righteousness in my child. I'm sowing seeds of the right kind of God attitude, how God thinks about them. You're sowing seeds in some, there's so many different types of seeds. But the thing is, every day we're all throwing a ton of them out there. And I'd like the ones that I am placing in my day-to-day life, because no matter what, I'm planting something every day. I would like them to come back and me to enjoy the fruit of the ones that I decided to plant. And it says that he remembers all your offerings. Now, in the Amplified Bible, it defines the word Selah, and this is pretty beautiful. It means to pause and to think about. To pause and to think about. So he says, may you remember all of your offerings and accept your burnt offerings. And pause and think about that. When the Holy Spirit says pause and think about something, it's quite wise of us to stop and pause and think about that thing. And he said, stop and think about what? That he remembers your offerings. Let's do that. Stop and think about that. That God himself, the creator of the universe, thinks about your offerings. And he remembers them. He never forgets a seed sown. And I'm reminded of a story Jerry Seville talks about, and he said he was on the road to speak at some convention. And this back in probably when you and Dad first got married, some of those, this was an old message. So this was like a long time ago, and I was listening to it the other day, and he said as he was driving, they, for whatever reason, decided that they needed to stop at this one specific rest stop. And there had been a mom there with her three kids. And her had been traveling to go to one of his meetings. And she was a single mom. And this car, he said, you would be surprised. It got from like here down the street when you saw it. And you're going, you've traveled how many states? And the little girl, as they're living in their car, they were just trying to make it to this meeting. And the oldest little girl in there, who's about 7 or 8, looks at her mom, the car's done. I mean, it's not going anywhere. And he said, the little girl said her mom put her head on the steering wheel and was just sobbing, utterly sobbing. And the little girl said, Mom, don't cry, don't cry. Let's just pray that Jerry Seville comes because he's used to working on cars. He can fix it for us. If our car's broke, he could fix it. Think of a child, just the way that they put things together is so beautiful. And she said, let's just pray that Jerry Seville stops here. And then he can fix our car so that we can be on our way. And her mom doesn't really even comprehend what her kid is saying. She's sobbing. I mean, think about that. They're living in their car. This is how far they come. She's got three little kids. She's a little distracted, would you say? And the little girl stops. Even though her mom's crying, she's like, well, I'll pray. And so she says, God, I just thank you that Jerry Seville stops here and helps us fix our car. And she said, amen. And when she looked up, Jerry Seville was walking past their car. And she ran out and she goes, Jerry, and ran and grabbed his leg. And he's like, what? This random child I don't know has come and it has now attached itself to my leg. And so he looks at her and he says, little honey, you're talking too fast. I don't know what you're saying. What's going on? And she said, our car broke down. And he looked at the car and he goes, well, yeah. I can see, honey. Yeah, it's broken down. And she said, and I just prayed. We were trying to go to one of your meetings. And I just prayed that, because you know how to fix cars. I remember you saying that you really liked cars and you knew how to fix cars. That I just prayed that you would show up so you can fix our car so we can go to your meeting. And he looked at the car and he said, sweetheart, I can't fix this car. He goes, but I tell you what I'm going to do. And he goes over to the mom whose head is still in the steering wheel. All this is happening and she's still sobbing. And he knocks on the door and he said, I could have flown her to space if there was no roof on that car. She jumped and just was like, Jerry Seville. And he said, listen, I can't fix this car, but here's what I'm going to do. There's a car dealership down there, and I want you guys to get in the car with me, and we're gonna go get you a car, okay, so you can come to my meeting. Stunned, right? Amazing. So they get in the car, they go, and he was with another minister, and the other minister said, oh, no, I want part of that blessing. I'm coming with you. And so they split this car and bought this for this mom. And then he said, so where were you going to stay at? And I think they were somewhere in Texas for the meeting. I don't recall the location. And he said, I want to be able to see you guys. I'd love to see you. You're going to come to the meeting. And, you know, where are you? Are you staying close? And she said, oh, no, we were staying in the car. And he goes, you were going to stay in that car. And the mom said, but my kid, we wanted to go and we wanted to hear you. It was really important to us. We just went through a lot as a family. And so he said, no, I'm going to get you a hotel at the hotel I'm staying at and my family's staying at. And, you know, you guys stay in that room. I'll have my team, we'll organize, somebody will, so you don't have to drive. We'll drive you there every day. And you order as much room service as you want. You just put that on the bill and Jerry Seville is going to pay that for you. And the other minister he was with said, oh no, I want to be a part of that. I'm going to split that with you too. And so he said the little girl the fact that food would come to her room was astonishing to her. She had never experienced anything like it. Never had room service before. And you can imagine how they were eating if they're living in a car and the situation they were in. And he said, they ate up that whole convention. He goes, I mean, they were front row just on the edge of their seats, all of their kids. And the oldest one was only about 7 or 8 years old. So, and she had three. And all of them just on the front row with the mom, so invested. And so he had his daughter, Terry, take care, you know, help make sure that they felt comfortable. And the story goes on. Here's what I'm getting to. He goes, maybe 2 months after, he's at home. His wife is now out preaching, which wasn't usual. It was usually him, but he had the weekend kind of to himself. And he got a call from somebody he didn't know, and they said, hey, Jerry, would you meet me at this and this car dealership? Because I have something I want to give you. And he had got a note from that guy the night before, and he forgot about it. And so finally at 7 a.m., he goes, I forgot about that note. He opens it, doesn't know the guy, and he calls him because it says, I'm going to buy you a new Corvette. And he thought, well, it's 7 a.m., hopefully he's awake. And he calls him, and the guy doesn't answer. Then the guy calls him back, he picks up, doesn't know who this is, and he goes, Jerry, did you get my note? I was waiting to hear from you. He said, yeah, but I forgot about it last night after ministering, and then I thought about it this morning. He goes, well, meet me in 45 minutes at this car dealership. They go there. He tells him, pick out a Corvette, your dream one, and he already had one. This was his dream one, though. And he drove it home, and he asked God, he goes, what was that about? He goes, you know that seed you sowed for that family with helping them with a car? This was the harvest on that. And then his friend, who had said, no, I want to be a part of that blessing, remember him? He calls that day, and he goes, hey, Jerry, anything interesting happened to you in the last 24 hours? And he had had a very similar situation, but it was the truck that he had been wanting. Amazing that they had realized they sowed that seed, and God said, that's the harvest on that seed. Now, that's an amazing story, and that's something, it's like, you know, you sow and you will reap. But did they sow to get a Corvette or a car or a truck? No. Why did they sow? Because they were doing what the Holy Spirit told them to do to somebody that was in need. They saw somebody that needed something and said, God will be able to provide that. You know, I think a lot of times there's this line when we're talking about what God is going to do harvest-wise, which is huge, and that there's this extravagant amount of wealth transfer that's going to happen in the last days church. And we think about all of how just how ginormous that would be and what we would do. And here's the thing. It's going to happen to the people who that's not why they're giving. It's not even in their thinking about what they're going to get from it. But it's, I'm going to answer that kingdom call right here. I see a need, I'm going to fill it. And in Christ, I have what I need to fill it. Did you notice he didn't go check his bank account? He didn't go and make sure that he had his, you know, that they had everything they needed. Well, we might need a new car and we might need this. No, he saw a need, he sowed, and God took care of his desires even. So when we give and we plant seeds, there are some seeds you've sown that I guarantee you, you've forgotten you've sown. But God never has. And there's a harvest on those seeds. And it says that he wants us to stop and think about the fact that he never forgets a seed we've sown. And the Holy Spirit told me this morning as I was praying over today, he said, Mercedes, I want you to tell Liberty Church that we are in the harvest season. And by we, I mean you, me, the person next to you, the person in front of you, the person behind you. We are in, not it's coming to us. It's like a new season coming to me. No, it's a new season and it's already on you. Here's where we need to make sure we're in a right order. Is our giving from here on out, knowing that. Do not give out of selfish want. Give just because the Holy Spirit told you to. And then watch what God will do. You keep your eyes on what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And he'll keep his eyes on what he wants to do for you. And those desires that you want, he'll handle. He'll get them to you. They'll show up. People will be calling you. But the fact of the matter is that Jerry Seville could have said, I need this, this, and this, so I can't give to that. I'm not in a place to give right now. But as a body of Christ, everything we need, we already have in Christ. So if God asks me to give it, then I can assume I have it to give. I have it. You have it. Amen? It's the way we live. It would be ridiculous to ask a seed that has been planted not to grow. It would be a violation of its very design. You know, if I'm driving on the interstate and I throw a bunch of seed out the window, you know, that seed is going to give it its best effort to grow, although it's not in conducive ground to do so. The seed is going to try. Because it's designed to be planted, to grow, and to produce. So as we sow, we don't sow onto the interstate. Onto ground that's hard and that seed's not conducive to grow. We sow in good ground. And so there are seeds that are still in the ground that have been planted. You know, farmers, they sow every year. And you know what? They don't see what's happening underground. But they believe that's going to come up. That's going to come out. I don't know the exact day. I don't know the exact moment, but I do know it is. How can we have more faith in something that's like a seed we literally put in soil and something comes up than we do in God who promises it? farmers believe all day long. They bank their life on it. They bank their family's way of living on it. They trust that if they plant a seed and they put it in soil and they give it what it needs, it will grow. Can we trust that if God tells us to do something, it's going to go in good soil and it will produce something? Can we do that? A seed knows nothing else but grow. Go with me to Mark. Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 26 says, "And he said, the kingdom of God is as if man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Genesis 8 says, "As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease." And I'm looking around and the earth seems to be remaining. Unless there's something I'm not seeing as of right now. And you're like, no, the earth's not here. We're on earth. It remains. So seed time and harvest remains, which means there have been seasons you have sown. I have had seasons where I have sown and sown. And occasionally I would go to God and say, I'm sowing and it looks like nothing is coming back. It looks like no harvest is coming back to that seed. What is happening? What I'm giving, but I'm not seeing a harvest. And that, my friends, is the difference between those who get a harvest and those who don't. It's the one who keeps giving even though they don't see it yet, and the one who says, I don't see it, so I'm going to stop. Because when you give, it is also an act of faith that you believe, no, they'll come up. They'll follow me. I'm not going to quit my giving. I'm not going to quit. Someone say, I'm not going to quit. If the earth is still here, there is seed time and harvest. Here's what I want you to see today. Your offerings, and I'm not just talking about offerings financially into church, but your offerings to God, your seeds to God, your givings to God, your obedience to God are divinely linked to the supernatural power of God. And here's why. It says, he remembers your offerings in Malachi 3, verse 10. You can go there if you want. Hopefully they'll throw it on the screens, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to go. Malachi 3:10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now, already there, that's amazing. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, which is not your house, and then there will maybe food in my house. So I'm bringing something somewhere else, and all of a sudden, something's going to appear in my house. Wow. That's beautiful. Says, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of angels, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the fields, as the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of angels. If God is going to open the heavens and pour out you a blessing so large that it says that it would be almost too much, that it's a little overwhelming sometimes because it's such an exuberant amount, that would be fun to have in chocolate, right? Just so much, it's overwhelming, an exuberant amount. Think of if it's not dessert for you, I don't care. Maybe yours is mashed potatoes. You're thinking of like in a boat of mashed potatoes. I'm with you there too. But think of something you really like and you have so much of it that no matter how hard you tried to indulge in it, you couldn't even touch it. If you've ever been eating and you're like, it looks like I've ate nothing, you're full. But you're like, but look at all this. Welcome to Thanksgiving. You're like, there's, you know, all this food. And somehow I'm full, but look at it. It's an exuberant amount. And it's overwhelming in a way I couldn't indulge in it all, even if I wanted to. And I want to, but I can't. He's saying that the blessings of heaven will come on your life in that type of degree. And that's a big concept. I can tell there are faces and heads in the room, and I can feel them even online tilting at that thought, going, I can't even imagine having that much, that it would be overwhelming. That's the problem. You're not imagining having that much, that it would be overwhelming. What are you imagining? How little you have, and how overwhelming it is to have so little. Or how overwhelming it is to get so many bills at one time. Or how overwhelming it is to look at your house payment or your interest or your taxes or your medical bills that came in. Or how overwhelming it is that you have this, that, and the other to fix. And how little you have to go around. But if you would look at what you actually had in Christ, that would overwhelm you. Because it says you would have so much, you wouldn't even be able to handle it all for yourself. And this is when you're a seed and harvest believer and doer of that word. God has unlimited ideas to bless you. He doesn't run out. And it will be things you would never see coming. Never see coming. Why? So then you realize it wasn't you. It was God. Only God could have done that. Only God could have done that. And then only God can get the glory for things like that. But I'm telling you, what you see about the overflow in your life is what you'll live. If your overflow is an overflow of doubt, lack, worry, Heavenly Father, and what you have in Christ, and you're looking at that overflow instead of what the natural looks like, oh my goodness, will you experience the wonderful, wonderful blessings and gifts that God has given us as sons and daughters of the Most High. If God's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there would be not enough room to contain it. To me, that looks like a manifestation of the supernatural power of God. Would you agree? And notice what linked me to that, my tithes and my offerings. Now, there will be preachers all over that will tell you, you don't need to give anymore. Or people, that's Old Testament. And I'm going to be the preacher that you may not like today. But that's okay. I don't need you to like me. I need God to be good with me. You need to give. It's biblical and it's right and it's from God that we give our tithes and offerings to the house of God. Not because God's house couldn't exist without you. It's God's house. It's existed since He told it to. That part has nothing to do with you. But when you give, it says, where you put your treasure, your heart will be also. And giving is something that when you decide, you know what, before anything else happens in my family, we give. Before anything else we decide we're going to buy, we don't give God anything left over. We show our family God gets first. When God gets first, you will be shocked the things that will happen for you. But many people have something out of order, and it's interesting to me because I've been in church my 34 years of life, and I've pastored for over a decade and more. And this is what I still hear from people I've grown up with in church that have heard. They heard my dad teach on it, that they've heard some of the best teachers on this come in and teach them, and they still think, not for me. And yet their life looks out of order. And it is. See, God is not a God that puts rules on you. He's not going to make you give. But he tells you what will happen when you do give. And it's not giving. This is why, this is the whole issue in the human race about giving. The whole issue. That's mine. Mine. Remember on Finding Nemo, that mine, mine. That's those stupid birds yelling. That's what we sound like. That's mine, that's mine, that's mine. I'll never have what's mine if I give what's mine. I'll never be able to afford what's mine unless I give you what's mine. The church just wants your money. No, sweetheart, we don't. Trust me, you're not going to make it or break it. That attitude will make or break you, though. And I know that's a strong word, but God, he gave us this because of what it instills in our life. And I'm going to show you what it instills in a minute. But the first order of business is a heart check on, no, nothing I have in my life is because of me. Everything I have. It down to the penny, down to every grain of salt in my home, in my kitchen right now, it's because God gave it to me. And if God gave it to me, and if it wasn't yours to begin with, you'll have no problem giving it. But when we look at it as mine, it's like a tug of war. I don't want to give that. It's mine. But when you look at, none of that's mine. None of that's mine. My dad was so good at that. Money would come into his hand and it was like, this isn't mine. Holy Spirit, who's this for? Who's this for? I would watch him give away thousands of dollars on a Sunday morning as a kid. Without blinking. And not from stage, he would just hand it to somebody. I would watch that. And I'm so glad I had a father that showed me. Maybe you didn't have a father that showed you. I'll borrow mine for a moment. My dad showed me what that could do. Because then God trusted him with big things. Because he didn't have a that's mine attitude. Everything in his hand was God's, and he knew if God tells me to give it, it's because he's made a way for me to give it. In Christ, I have what I need to give it. All right, we're coming to a close today. Go with me to Acts. Acts 10, 1 through 4. Your sowing links you directly to the power of God. But it also, notice in verse 11, it says it rebukes the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit on your ground. So your giving isn't just, it's not just something that you do as a believer. It's also something you do as protection as a believer. You have rights. I tell stuff in my house you can't break. I'm a giver. I'm a tither. This car will last as long as I tell it to because I'm a giver. And I have the power because I'm a giver to rebuke the devourer. Maybe silly to you guys. We're going to go to Acts 10 here in just a second. When Colin and I were dating, he had this old Audi that I loved. And we have a different, newer one now, but this was an older one. I loved that car. He loved that car. And we're in there, and things started to go awry, I'll just say. It was quite evident something was very, very wrong with the car. And we're driving, and I look at him, and I'm like, oh, we should stop. And he just kind of looks at me, acts like I didn't say anything. I'm like, we should probably hear that. And he's like, yeah. I mean, smoke's coming out, guys. I'm like, do you see it? Do you hear it? And he's just sitting there quietly. continuing to drive. And I just stopped and stared at him. I'm subtle, you know. Not at all. I've never been called that. So I'm looking at him like, would you care to attend to the issue? You know, shall we stop and call someone or get out before it blows up? You know, that would, you know, what should we do? And he just looked at me and he kind of smirked, which was really cute. And he goes, nothing. He said nothing to me. He puts his hand on the car and it stopped. And then he goes, so where did you want to eat? And I looked at him, I was like, that was the most attractive thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Like, how did you do that? But it was the fact he was so unbothered by it. I want you to catch that. He was unbothered by it. What was I? Very bothered. I was more than bothered. I was downright frightened. I was like, let's get out. It's going to blow up. You know, look at that's a lot of smoke. That's a bad sound. I don't know anything about cars, but I know it's not supposed to do that. And he was unbothered. Do you know when you're a tither, that's how you get to walk around life. Unbothered. Because then you can tell things, no, I'm a tither. And the car obeyed. I want you to hear that. The car obeyed. So when you speak to something, things have to obey you. It's not that Colin was something this special and, well, he's a pastor, so of course God would do that for him. Oh, no. It says for all believers. All believers. Okay, are you there? If you haven't found it, just, you're not gonna. So Acts 10, verse 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Notice what attracted God to this man. It wasn't just that he was a praying man, it was that he was a giving man. God's attracted to you no matter what. You're his son, you're his daughter. But there's something that happens in the spirit. When you give, it creates a memorial that you trust God and he doesn't forget it. And you may not even be looking at it all the time, but he does. He's looking at it right now. He's like, look, they've believed me. Look how they've trusted me. And it says he's pleased with it. A memorial before God. He said, your prayers and your alms, in other words, your prayers and your giving, have created a memorial before God. The Amplified says this, and he, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, what is it, Lord? The angel said to him, your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God, and he has remembered them. What happened at Cornelius' house? Supernatural manifestation of the power of God. It says the Holy Spirit fell on him in his household. Would you agree that it appears that there's a connection between our giving and the supernatural power of God? And there's a connection between being a praying man, but it says, but because he was praying and he also then trusted with what he had, that there was a mantle placed over him of protection. It says God remembered his offerings. That tells me that my giving to God, he remembers it. And he remembers the things I sowed. Even when I was a kid, when you were a kid, he remembers them. I'm going to finish with this story. And if you could give me the verse, Galatians 6:10, in the Amplified Classic up there. Amplified Classic, Galatians 6:10, and I'll give you a couple minutes for it. I'm going to tell this story. Galatians 6:10 in the Amplified. I was very hesitant. This a few weeks, I've known that the Holy Spirit has told me to tell this story, and I'll be vulnerable with you. I did not want to do that, and I have argued, and yet that's never worked for me before. So here I am, and this is a story I would generally keep between me and Colin and the Holy Spirit, but I think today that it would benefit you. And I'm going to be obedient, and I don't enjoy telling this, okay? It's very good, but it's just emotional to tell. The week after Jim Hockaday was here, I was driving. I was supposed to have a dentist appointment, and that little stinker forgot to tell me that he wasn't going to be there that day, and they didn't tell me, and so I got there, and they're like, oh, we're so sorry. He called out today. He hurt his arm or something, and so we'll have to reschedule. And I remember being on the phone with Charity that morning going, hey, I have to go to the dentist. I hate going to the dentist, but here I am today going to the dentist. And so I get there, and you know when you're like, you've mustered up the strength to go to someplace you hate, and you're there, and then they're like, oh, sorry, you know, it's going to be not today. And I really wanted to just rip it off like a Band-Aid. So Colin had got off early so I could go, blah. That's the beginning of the day. I'm driving home because I'm like, well, whatever. I'm not going to go. At least I'll go home. It's fine. It's not a big deal. And I'm driving, and I felt God. We live on like 168th and Blondo. And I got to 168th and Dodge. And I heard God say, just turn left. And I thought, well, my house is right. And that's where I'd personally like to go. And instead, I turned left and I started driving. No idea where I was going. And then all of a sudden, Shannon Neiman called me, and I pulled over and talked to her for about 30 minutes, which was awesome. Nothing to do with the story other than I had pulled over, okay? I get back on the road and I hear the Holy Spirit tell me, I want you to go to Lakeside Hospital. And I said, no. Blatantly, I just said no. For those of you who don't know, that's where my dad was. That's where I lived there for a good portion of time. And he said, I want you to go to Lakeside Hospital. And I said, get behind me, Satan. That's not you. I'm not going there. Nobody I know is there. I'm not just going to show up at a hospital. That's ridiculous. And I'm driving, and my GPS, which wasn't on, by the way, I get to the turn, and it says turn right. And I thought, you can't be serious. I'm like, that's not a coincidence. I turn right. He's like, go. So I parked, and I'm like, this is good enough. Whatever you have to tell me, it can be right here. You know, really just trying to set up the rules. Welcome to Mercedes's mind. So I sat there and I literally said, this is how me and the Holy Spirit, I just said, whatever you have to tell me, you can do it right here. And he did not want to be there, okay? I don't have good memories there. And he said, just go inside. And I sat there probably 10 minutes, and I just, you know, like, when your stomach starts to turn and it just is getting, and you're like, oh, I gotta do it. It's like when you're about to do something really scary or when you're about to throw up, one of the two. It feels like that. So I knew to go. I said, okay. All right, I'm going in, but I don't like it. And so I go in through the door, and I'm like, I don't like looking at this place. I have a lot of memories here. I don't enjoy this. I walk in, and he said, go to the fourth floor, which was the the floor my dad was on majority of the time. He went between usually the third and the fourth, but when he went to be with Jesus, he was on the fourth. So he said, go there. And there was a waiting room that overlooks the street, and there's trees, and I would sit there often to take a break, and there's like a half wall, so I was sitting, a wall's behind my head, so nobody's looking at me. I'm sitting there looking out, and he said, just sit here. I'm just praying the Holy Spirit. And I said, okay, well, I'll do it for like 10 minutes. He's like, just sit and wait until you hear me say something. 10 minutes go by, nothing. I'm like, you're not saying anything. Why am I here? 15 minutes, nada. I'm like, okay. I don't want to be here. It's uncomfortable to be here. No reason to be here. Anybody would think I'm a Looney Tune for being here right now. If somebody called me and said, where are you? And I said, Lakeside Hospital. They'd be like, are you okay? You know, do you need to go see someone? Are you okay? So I'm sitting there. 20 minutes go by. Finally. And no one's around. I got the waiting room to myself, and there's a wall behind me, so it's not like anybody could see me. And I'm looking outside, and he said, Mercedes. And I always carry anointing oil in my purse because I'm a freak. But you never know when you might need it. Actually, I highly suggest doing that. It's just great. But I took the anointing oil out, and he said, no, I want you to touch the floor. And I thought, ew, this is a hospital. No, thank you. He said, just touch it. I'm like, you know, I already look dumb enough, okay? I've already come here. Might as well go all the way, all right? I've already drove here. I walked in. I'm on the fourth floor. Here I am. I'm never telling anyone this, is what I said. I'm never going to tell anybody I did this. It's ridiculous. I put my hand on the floor. And in one moment, what I had seen, I could see the hospital. In one moment, all of a sudden, all I saw was seeds. Floor, wall, ceiling, no hospital was there. It was seeds. The biggest amount of seeds I have ever, like, huge. And I couldn't see the hospital anymore, but it was just all around me. Think floor, ceiling, I mean, seeds. And then all of a sudden they turned to these huge flowers, like biggest flowers, like the whole thing. So what were seeds? I'm standing on flowers, walls, flowers, ceiling, flowers, whole thing flowers. And I heard him say, what you sowed here in tears, I needed to show you, you will reap in joy. And I thought, well, okay, I'm sorry I argued with you. And he goes, there's more. I said, okay. And he goes, just walk down the hall. And so I walked down the hall that I had walked to countless times. Even saw from there's another little waiting side room where you could, if you look through the window, you could actually see into what was my dad's room. And I stood there and he said, ask me what lies you've believed about this place. And I'm going to keep that one to myself. And then he said, here's the truth about it. He goes, your dad, there's seeds that the harvest still hasn't been reaped. And I want you right now in this place. And all of a sudden I had the realization that I was not by myself, and in the spirit realm, both sides were looking at me. Do you know what I mean when I say that? And he said, I want you to claim your harvest here in the place. That felt like a place of destruction. And I said, I claim every harvest, every tear I sowed here, and every seed my dad sowed in his life that he didn't get to reap the harvest for, I claim it and I add it to my account now in the name of Jesus. And I walked out of that hospital, and I'm telling you, it did not look like a place I had experienced traumatic things. It looked like a place where I came And I literally felt, and maybe you'll think I'm nuts for this, and that's fine, it wasn't you. You weren't there. And Merritt Weiss always says, a man with experience is never at the mercy of a man with a theory. And so this happened to me. And you can believe it or not, I don't really care, but I felt like I was supposed to share it with you, so I'm being obedient. And I walked out, and I felt like I had just walked into hell itself, looked the enemy in the face, and said, I'll be taking that. Thank you very much. And walked out. Now, here's how this applies to you. If you could put Galatians 6:10 up there. There are seeds in your life that I was not there for, that I know that you sowed. Maybe it was financially, but I know for a lot of you, I feel today that a lot of you have sowed some seeds in tears. And there are things that you probably have never talked about that have happened, that you sowed. I want you to walk back in, look the enemy in the face, and say, I'll be taking that. Thank you very much. You don't get to decide how that season ended for me. I reclaim it by the grace and power of God. Every seed I've ever sowed, God remembers it, and I command them all to start coming up in Jesus' name. I command that harvest to start coming up in Jesus' name. I command every tear that I sowed that only God saw to start coming up in my life in Jesus' name. And I reclaim moments I felt like I left in loss, and I reclaim them as victorious. That what the enemy tried, he did not win. And I'm going to make hell pay for those moments. See, I think a lot of times we take things that the enemy has tried. It says that he fashions a sword and it's aimed at us, and he fashions it, and we're like, oh no, he fashioned it. And it's like, yeah, and you have the power, it says, to break any weapon and say, I rebuke you. No weapon formed against me. Why do you think it says the enemy forms a weapon against you, and God says no weapon formed against you shall prosper? So there may have been seasons where a lot of weapons were formed against you. Maybe you even feel like you got stabbed with a few of them. You got hit with, you got blown up by a few of them. God is not done with a moment till it is redeemed, until it is restored, and until you are sitting on top and winning. If you don't feel restored, if that is still painful to you, there is more to come. Claim your harvest. What you have sowed in tears, you can and will and should, and you have to reap in joy. You're a child of God. Don't you let the enemy keep those seeds. Don't you let him go into your field, try to mess with the fruit. Says God remembers everything you've sown, and he's made a memorial of it. My question to you is, can you think back on some seeds you've sown and go and claim your harvest on it? Maybe there are times, there's been seeds in your marriage. There's been seasons of just hardship. Maybe you've been close to divorce. I don't know. Maybe somebody watching right now, you got the divorce papers. Stop it right now. That is not of God. It's an attack of the enemy. You're not fighting your spouse. You are fighting principalities. This is for someone specific. I'm not telling anyone to stay in an abusive relationship. Do not hear that. If you're in an abusive relationship, contact us after. We will help you. But listen, if the person I'm talking to, and I really believe you're online, if you have divorce papers, even in your home right now, stop it. It is not from God. Do not do it. There is a legacy on your family, and all you need to do is say, devil, I break you now. I rebuke you, I bind you, and I command you, get off my marriage. And Jesus, can we pray for that person right now? I feel so strongly. Would you just lift your kind of even just act like you're praying for that person in the spirit. God, I thank you right now for that person that your holy presence enters the room. God, I thank you for peace to come into that house. Enemy, I rebuke you. I silence your mouth. I tie your hands and I command you as the finger of God to remove yourself from that marriage and for peace and restoration to come in and flood in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I command your thoughts, God. Your thoughts over her right now, over the wife. I thank you. It's your thoughts, God. We protect what she's hearing, what she's seeing. God, I thank you for his heart. God, begin to change his heart, shift his heart, soften his heart. Holy Spirit, do what you can do in Jesus' mighty name. We send angels there right now to minister to them, God, that this would be the breakthrough day in their marriage. And for somebody in this room, your marriage has been okay, but there have been some really rocky parts. In Jesus' name, peace flows over you. Peace flows over your life. Peace flows into your marriage in Jesus' name. And we rebuke that attack of the enemy and we say, no, not in this house. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, for the rest of you, keep your eyes closed. I don't know who that was for. If it was you, send us a message. I want to talk with you. I want to pray with you. But for anyone else in this room and watching online, if you have a season, maybe you just lost somebody. Maybe there's been something traumatic. Maybe there was something that happened when you were a kid that was traumatic and you have just never felt like you've really recovered from. Right now, in your spirit, I want you to say in Jesus' name, I reclaim that. I claim it restored. I claim it restored. And my harvest from every tear I sowed, come to me now speedily. We rebuke the spirit of delay. No more. Quickly that harvest comes. Quickly, like the bamboo. Quickly, quickly, quickly. A suddenly in Jesus' name. Now, if there's anyone in this room that has never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, I don't want to miss you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise your hand? If that is you, I don't want to miss you. Okay, let's say this for, I know there's going to be somebody online. Let's say this together. Say, dear Jesus, come into my life. I believe your Lord and Savior, that you died and rose again just for me. I invite you and your Holy Spirit to come live in me, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me today? Brandon's just going to play for a minute, and if you need prayer, or if that's been you and you've had a season of just, you're like, I sowed in tears. And it says you'll reap in joy. There's a scripture I didn't get to today, we'll get to next week, but talks about how you're not just going to get back what was stolen from you. It talks about when you're a giver, you get back 100-fold. I've been talking to Howard about this, and he'll ask me questions about it. And 100-fold is going to throw you off for what it really means. It's going to throw you off big time in a good way. But I want you, even before you fully understand it, you need to fully understand it before you claim it. Just say, I will get back everything that was stolen from me 100-fold. 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 That means for some of you, it's joy. You've been dealing with depression too long. Joy, 100-fold. Some of you have been dealing with lack too long. Provision, 100-fold. Some of you have been dealing with self-doubt or even self-esteem issues. Like you hate yourself. 100-fold. 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 Would you lift your hands towards heaven? Begin to claim these. Father God, I thank you for every person in the room. God, that the things that they've sowed in tears, they're going to reap in joy 100-fold. For those that have been, finances have been stolen from, properties have been stolen, relationships, cars, medically, maybe even something, they lost a key organ that they need. God, I thank you 100-fold. They're going to go to the doctor, and their doctor's going to say, oh my gosh, you have your kidney fully, your liver's perfect. The cancer isn't there. You're not going to be able to explain it. I want you to think as big as you could think, and that's as big as God wants to do it, plus some. And if you want prayer, come down to the front. Our pastors are going to pray for you. But you can do this yourself. You can claim it yourself. But if you want prayer, I'm happy to come claim it with you. It says when two or three or more are gathered, I'm happy to come do that with you. But for the rest of us, he's just going to play for a couple minutes. I want you to declare that in the spirit. If you don't know what to say, start praying in tongues. If you don't know what to say, just start saying, I thank you for my harvest. I thank you for my harvest. I thank you for my harvest. What I sowed in tears, I reap in joy. Start saying that. Go with that first if you don't know what to say. But say something, because the enemy's saying something, and God is saying something, and I want to be on what God is saying. That moves mountains. That creates where there have been graves, gardens will start to show up. And I thank you, Father, over these people, God, that gardens will begin to show up and sprout forth like never before into their lives, into their families and their marriages. And I thank you in Jesus' name that the marriages in this house that belong to Liberty Church are covered and sealed in the blood of Jesus, hidden in plain sight from the enemy. And oh, God, would you restore the broken pieces and create something beautiful, marriage ministries to come out of this place in Jesus' mighty name.
Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.